we can get your own. Maybe Myra will come out this way, and Charlie's not involved in.
Maybe we want to see a little mighty earthquake.
The problem is on his desk between the Irish tree.
Okay. We're on.
We're on.
Good afternoon from Shaky Schenectady. The June meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board, joined by my colleagues Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. Secretary Gail Pronti as well will call the agenda. But first, comments from the public. Hearing none, I'll ask our secretary to call the agenda.
Call the meeting to order at 2:06. Approve the minutes of the board meeting held on May 25th, 2010.
Any motion to approve?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes approved. Next item.
Items previously approved or deferred by the chair. There are 94. Any questions? Items previously approved, denied, or deferred by the full board. 7 since the last meeting. And 11 items to be approved today. First item is the Finger Lakes Racetrack request to expand the Vineyard Buffet. Good job.
I don't think that.
You never know.
Finger Lakes.
You say vineyard, I say vineyard.
Finger Lakes Raceway requested approval of said project for expansion of the buffet area as well as the kitchen area and loading docks. It's a large project, estimated cost to be approximately $3.4 million, and is expected to be completed by November of this year. The project has been approved by New York State Lottery through the Video Cap Gaming Capital Award Program. A copy of the permit from OGS dated June 2nd is attached. Staff has reviewed the information, found it to be in compliance with Section 246 and the racing law, and recommends that the board issue the permit as required pursuant to statute.
The my observation, Finger Lakes has made an attempt to integrate more racing into the gaming area, and since the buffet abuts the gaming area, they've tried to do that there as well. And, we saw some, I think, positive steps in that direction. In a challenging market, you're doing pretty good. Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Item is approved. Next item.
Item 2 is Catskill Regional OTB Internet Account Wagering.
Mr. Catskill, go.
Thank you, Chairman. December 4th, 2009, Capital District Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation requested approval to implement an internet wagering program. The submitted plan of operation includes also automated clearinghouse transactions, live video streaming, and race replays. Pursuant to Rule 5300.3, authorized pari-mutuel entities may conduct account wagering pursuant to a written plan of operation approved by the board. The plan must include, at a minimum, the system of processing wagers, internal controls, system security, rules, and recording devices separate and independent from the total system. Catskill OTB is contracted with Scientific Games Racing LLC to provide its internet wagering platform. The platform is known as TrackPlay, has been previously approved by the board for use at Nassau and Suffolk OTB. The TrackPlay system Catskill is looking to implement as a web-based internet system, allows customers to place wagers using the OTB accounts. They can bet on any event offered at Catskill OTB as long as the host track is granted permission for internet wagering. And included with this, with their request, was a list of selected screenshots so you can get a feel for what it would look like online. They're also requesting live video streaming and race replays to be offered with this application as well. They have submitted a summary of the internal controls that will be in place with this system. Staff has reviewed them and found them to be substantially compliant with Part 5300. The system security, that'll be in place. This application server, or it's termed as a racing data transaction management servers, are located on site at Catskill OTB. OTB's Arlington, New York, and Pomona facilities. The area that houses the servers has limited access. The system also has, is redundant, and there's off-site backup. The rules that will be offered to the individuals who will be signing up were also reviewed and found to be in compliance. The recording device that they will be using, the Scientific Games Transaction Processing Agent Server, or TCAS, has been known as, records and logs all internet account wagering transactions. The live video streaming and race replays, Catskill OTB will be implementing via the internet. Catskill will only offer services, those services, on the host tracks that have consented. In addition, pursuant to Section 1012 of the racing law, Catskill OTB has the authorization from at least one of its regional tracks. The system they're looking to implement is identical to that was approved by the board for NASA OTB. Catskill OTB has submitted results from testing of the track play system, and staff has found them to be satisfactory. Staff recommends the board approve Catskill OTB's written request for internet wagering, including live video streaming and race replays, conditioned upon the following. All wagering and related activities conducted pursuant to the submitted plan of operation. That approval be limited to include internet wagering only. Any expansion to include other electronic means requires additional board approval. That the racing data transaction management servers must continue to be located in New York State at the designated facilities. That Catskill OTB may offer wagering via the internet only for those tracks which have provided written consent and have obtained the proper regulatory approvals. That Catskill OTB may offer race replay via the internet only for those tracks which have also provided written consent and obtained the proper regulatory approvals. And lastly, that Catskill OTB may offer live video streaming of races via the internet for those tracks that have provided written consent and obtained proper regulatory approval to do so. Live video streaming of races is restricted to Catskill OTB's statutorily defined region.
I have a question, because we didn't, in the initial package we received, we did not have the Catskill OTB counties and zips for approval.
Mm-hmm.
Are they not restricted for Yonkers betting?
I'm sorry.
Wasn't there some sort of restriction that they are not allowed to offer or have branches within the city of Yonkers?
They don't have branches, but they are within their region. It's in the defined region.
They're allowed to take wagering online in the city of Yonkers.
Which they also, I believe, have, I would imagine, telephone accounts in there as well. There's not a restriction for that. It's just that there's no branches.
Just bricks and mortar branch.
Right.
Other questions, comments?
Wagers are surcharge free.
Yes, they're going to offer wagers surcharge free for internet.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Catskill Internet platform, say aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Let's retire the blackboard. Next item.
Item 3 is notice of adoption, coupled entries rule.
Mr. Feierstein.
Thank you. This is the first of several rules before the board today. This is a rule presented for board consideration as an adoption, or as we call it, a final adoption. If the board approves this adoption, this rule would then be filed with the Department of State for publication in the register, and it would actually become part of the board's rules at that point. In other words, we will have completed the process. This is, as the board knows, a rule to relax the existing coupled entry requirements. This rule will provide an amendment to, or this amendment rather, will provide a change to Rule 4025.10, which currently requires that all horses trained by the same trainer must be coupled and run as an entry, with a certain exception for $1 million purse races. The change would provide that a maximum of two horses trained by the same trainer may race uncoupled in any race, provided the entries do not have common ownership, which is defined in the board's rules as at least 25%. There's also a change in rule 4035.2, basically to provide for disqualification in the discretion of the stewards if there is any improper action on the part of one part of the entry, or that is now uncoupled, which permits the other part of the entry to gain an advantage in terms of other horses. There were some comments that were received. They're summarized in the assessment of public comment before you. The assessment by staff recommended for the board is to adopt the rule in its existing format. Most of the comments were generally supportive of the rule.
There was a comment by a former board member and currently current Albany Law Center Director Bennett Liebman about changing language.
And it's right here.
Are we going to undertake some modification down the road?
It's my view, speaking on my own behalf or that of my department, that Mr. Liebman's comment has merit, and that language, his suggestion probably would have been incorporated in this had we had it much earlier in the process. With the board's permission, staff will undertake a proposal to change the existing amendment to reflect this language.
We don't want to hold this up any more than we have. This has been a long time in coming. So if we can make modifications down the road, that makes it even better, but the perfect shouldn't be the enemy to good in this case, and I think this will help handle and make our racing cards more competitive. Any questions or comments?
When's publication date, Bob?
Publication date should be on July 14th.
So we'd make it effective that date?
Yes, it would be effective that date.
Well, I want to, before we move on, thank our legal staff, Bob Fonstein, Mark Stewart, Rick Goodell, all of whom have been involved over the years in this issue, and our executive director, Ron Okram. I think this is something that's been waited for a long time, and something that will help New York racing. And with that, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item number four is the notice of proposed Camping Harness Sulky Rule.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is before the board for consideration as a proposed rule. If approved by the board as a proposed rule, this rule and the necessary papers would go to the Governor's Office of Regulatory Reform for consideration and would only be published in the State Register for public comment. If permission is granted for that publication. This amendment to Harness Rule 4116.10 would require that any sulky involved in an accident be inspected by the manufacturer or authorized representative of the manufacturer before being used again in a race qualifier or in training on the track. This rule is similar to one that's currently in effect in New Jersey. There was a pre-proposal industry comment period with regard to the rule. The rule itself is rather straightforward, as the board is aware from the text. This rule, based on the pre-proposal public comment solicitation, is supported by several of the horsemen's associations. Certain staff of the board in the field has a degree of concern with the implementation of this rule, the staff recommendation is that the board approve this as a proposal, and it will find its way to the Governor's Office of Regulatory Reform.
Questions or comments on this sulky rule and the safety aspects of it? Hearing none, move the question. All those in favor of the Harness Sulky Rule?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item 5 is notice of proposed rulemaking cell phones in the paddock area.
Like the rule previously considered, this is also before the board for consideration as a proposed rulemaking. This rulemaking is a proposal to amend Rule 4104.11 to allow limited use of cellular telephones and similar type of electronic communication devices in the paddock area of a harness racetrack. The existing rule, which was promulgated at a time prior to cell phones, requires the recording of all conversations by phone in and out of the paddock, something which has become increasingly impossible to enforce over the years as both cell phones and other types of communications equipment has become available. This rule would basically permit the restrictive use in areas of the paddock or receiving barn that are designated by our officials at the track. So it would be based on the unique considerations and circumstances of the paddock area at each track. This rule also, or rule proposal, was also sent around for pre-proposal industry comment. It was supported by several of the horse persons associations. I will point out for the board that a number of the board's ranking officials at the harness tracks have concern about this rule.
Has a good Monticello management.
Yes.
Questions or comments on the cell phone and the harness paddock rule?
I got a couple of questions that came up as a result of reading the comments from our people. Is there a USDA rule or guideline in place regarding cell phones in harness side?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, how about the only other state I know that does this right now, but there may be more, is New Jersey. Do we know about that as well?
It was my impression that more states do not restrict the use of phones than do have any types of restrictions on phones, but I don't actually know the answer. We certainly can get that information for the board.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of people talk to me about this over the last few months, and obviously the horsemen are very much in favor of this. I've had some people who've expressed a lot of reservations about it, including some of the comments there, that it has an integrity and perception issue. I'd like to see us do things right on this, and I would like to find out, with what the experience has been in other states before we go and approve this. I'd like to defer it if I could be indulged by the other members for a month, and I'd like to know a couple of you. I mean, is there RCI model rule on this issue? I don't think there is, but I'd like to know if there is. As I said, where USTA is, a little bit on the experience on the in the other states, because that seems to be where the comments are with our guys as well in terms of let's find out in terms of this being before we put it out there again, because in the time I've been here, this is the most mixed reaction I think I've seen to an industry comment to anything except for maybe when we first put out the uncoupling originally. So I'd like to see us do it right if.
Is a motion to defer? We'll vote on that motion then. All those in favor of deferring this till next month, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion is the item is deferred. Next item.
And I mean, the sooner we can get that information back, I don't know who's going to be, whether it be Mark or whoever.
Mark's the room. Yeah. We'll try to have it back in a week or so.
Thank you.
Item 6 is Saratoga Harness request to replace electronic funds transfer provider.
This would be Mr. Castrodola.
Thank you, Chairman. My letter dated June 5th, Saratoga Harness requested the board approve an amendment to its internet and telephone account wagering plan of operation. If you recall, that was just previously approved by the board, I think within the last 2 months. Saratoga Harness has changed its vendor to provide automated clearinghouse transactions to iSmart Check. a cursory background check of the vendor, did not disclose any material derogatory information. Staff therefore recommends the board approve Saratoga Harness request for this amendment to its internet plan of operation. Conditioned upon that all of the other terms and conditions of the board's May 25th approval of their plan of operation remain in effect.
Questions or comments on the Saratoga Harness change of provider on clearances of money?
Who else is using these folks now? Somebody else is, right? Is this the...
This... I believe... I don't remember. I think a couple of the OTBs and tracks, I think, switched to this provider. I don't recall who is doing that right now. I want to say Nassau, but I'm not 100% certain.
Okay. I'm fine.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Saratoga Harness request to replace the electronic funds transfer provider, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item 7 is the Yonkers Raceway request to withdraw $380,109.10 from the Capital Improvement Fund.
This application, this application is dated January 25th from Yonkers Raceway to request approval to withdraw said amount from the Capital Improvement Fund. The request was subsequently amended, if you will, or added to include that they're also requesting approval in accordance with Section 322 of the Racing Law for a building permit for the driver's lounge renovations. Staff reviewed the request for withdrawal, found that the items were been properly supported with copies of vendor invoices, canceled checks, and all required supporting documentation. Staff, along with I think one or two of the board members, performed the annual walkthrough of Yonkers Raceway within the past week. I found the facility to be in substantial acceptable compliance. We had contacted the presiding judge, who said he knew of no physical problems or health or safety issues that would preclude reimbursement of the SIF request. All the items included in this request were budgeted for in their 2008 capital improvement budget. There is approximately $1.1 million in their capital improvement fund as of the end of April of this year. It should be noted that board staff had confirmed back in April of 2007 that work on this driver's building had begun. Work began prior to Yonkers requesting and receiving a permit under Section 322 of the Racing Law. Subsequently, in July of 2007, Yonkers forwarded a letter requesting approval of the project. This item has remained open actually until this request had come forward, where permits were subsequently provided from OGS that were issued for this project. So this request therefore does include not only requests for withdrawals of the amount from the Capital Improvement Fund, but also I guess finally the request for the permit under Section 322.
Nice how that happens. Questions or comments on the Yonkers SIF withdrawal?
Are we going to get a staff recommendation from, is that what we're going to do from you guys in terms of what to do with the permit?
Well, I can give you my recommendation at this point. In as much as the Office of General Services has issued a certificate of occupancy, and the permit, the actual permit was issued in the spring of 2008, well after construction was underway and virtually completed. I don't see any value, if you will, in the expiration of the permit at this time forward, given that construction has been completed, that the building has been occupied, and a CFO was issued. I do think, and we don't have a recommendation today, but I do think that pursuant to the typical staff delegation of authority that staff should consider whether or not it is appropriate to issue a fine in relation to this, as well as to another project that occurred at Yonkers Raceway without a permit.
So you'll weigh the consequence of the violation and then report back to the board? Is that right?
The preferred way to do that, if I may, would be for staff to actually undertake an independent review of this, and if appropriate, issue a fine. The fine would then be appealable to the board in the event of a challenge to it.
That's so. I would point out, Member Diamond and I did go on the walkthrough last week, and considerable improvement over the time I was there 2 years ago. It was of the SIF inspections I was on, it was the least, there were no complaints from anyone.
So it's in good shape, other than a little repairs that needed. Yeah.
And the driver's lounge, quite frankly, is beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
It's a nice.
I was going to probably thank my two colleagues, Messrs. Hogan and Diamond, for attending the SIF inspection with staff. And call the question on the item. All those in favor of the Yonkers SIP withdrawal, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item D is Nassau Regional OTD request to appoint two new vice presidents, Richard Biancoli and Douglas Diana.
Mr. Lynch,
what are you from today? By letter dated May 18th of the current year, Joseph Bentavenga, Chairman and Acting President at Nassau Downs Off-Track Betting Corporation, informs the New York State Racing and Wagering Board of the hiring of two new vice presidents for the Nassau Regional OTB. The new hires are Richard Biancoli as Vice President of Operations and Douglas Diana as Vice President of Corporate Affairs. Mr. Biancoli was previously a commissioner for the town of Hempstead from January of 2004 until January of this current year. Then he was appointed executive commissioner of Nassau County from January 3rd until May 4th of the current year. Mr. Diana was previously a member of the town of Hempstead Zoning Board from 2004 until the current year. He is presently the owner of the Atlantic Commercial Alliance, a company he has been associated with since 1993. Suitability review dated June 15th of the current year was limited to a review of the following: public records, credit history report, a personal history disclosure form, and a check of his fingerprint records. A review of the above did not reveal any disqualifying information for Richard Biancoli. The suitability review dated 1 week later was limited to a review of the following: public records, credit history report, personal history disclosure form, and a check of his fingerprint records. A review of the above did not reveal any disqualifying information for Douglas Diana. Approval for both men is recommended.
Did they get the usual interview with Bill Sekelek in terms of the board members' fiduciary duties and so on and so forth?
No, these are officers.
Right? Oh, so they don't have to get, oh, that's right, because they're officers. All right.
Other questions or comments on the Nassau Regional OTB vice presidents? Hearing them, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item 9 is the St. Regis Mohawk Tribe request to amend Pendleton's AMDA Tribal States contract.
Before I ask Mr. Firestein, I want to welcome our friends from the St. Regis Mohawk Tribe, Todd Papineau, Jill Benedict, and Charles Otto. Thanks for making the journey. Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. The St. Regis Mohawk Tribe, acting through authority delegated to the St. Regis Mohawk Tribal Gaming Chairman, has requested amendment of existing provisions to Appendix A and to supplement as well Appendix B of the Tribal State Compact between the St. Regis Mohawk Tribe and the State of New York. There are four components of this amendment request. Each involves an existing game. These games are blackjack, Caribbean stud poker, craps, and leaded white poker. With your permission, I'll go through them all briefly. In terms of blackjack, this is a request to replace the present game language with new language. This new language will strengthen the operational and procedural controls of play, and in addition, the main changes is new language which will authorize dealing from the hand and providing a number of optional razors. With regard to improving stud poker, this is also a request to replace present game language with new language. There will be strengthening of the operational and procedural controls of play, and in addition, there will be new language which will authorize and resolve a recent table construction issue. The present language requires a table no longer manufactured. With regard to craps, this is a request to add a supplemental wager for hop specs, which are one-roll wagers on specific dice combinations rolled immediately following the placement of the wagers. These exact wagers were approved by the board recently in an amendment to the nation's state gaming compact between the Seneca Nation of Indians and the state of New York in April of this year. Concerning Reddit Rye Poker, this is a request to add an optional supplemental wager a player may make on the three cards initially dealt. The exact wager was also approved by the board in an amendment to the nation's state gaming compact between the Seneca Indian Nations and the state of New York, also in April of 2010. Consistent with board policy, the review personnel assigned to this matter have found that the proposed amendments to the existing gaming activities and the proposed supplements to the managerial controls are gaming operational standards falling within the governor's 2009 limited delegation of authority to the board to amend tribal state compacts. Thus, the board has jurisdiction. The review personnel also reviewed the submitted materials, finding that all wager standards and conduct associated with each of the amendments proposed are consistent with the means of regulation for games and controls articulated within the Marble Compact. Accordingly, the recommendation here is for approval of the compact amendments.
I noted that blackjack will be optional to be dealt out of a hand, one deck or two, which is certainly, I think, a step in the right direction. But there's no contemplation on changing the odds on blackjack. None of this 6-5 stuff. Good. Okay. Other questions, comments on the...
I would just comment, it seemed like this new procedure is working out pretty well and that we're able to process these amendments quite quickly, which is a good thing.
It is. It's also required to be processed quickly. I should note that Assistant Counsel Williams does a lot of behind-the-scenes work so that by the time the amendments are formally presented, most of the kinks have been ironed out.
I want to thank Mr. Williams for his work on this as well. I think the idea was when we got this authority to make it speedier so that, you know, the gaming operations can remain competitive, and with Pennsylvania coming online by this time next month, we need to be competitive, especially the tribes to the south, which will face stiff competition from table games in Pennsylvania. Other questions or comments on the item? Hearing none, of those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Now we come to the adjudicatory version of our meeting.
Item 10 is in the matter of Greenwood.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is an appeal by harness racing trainer driver applicant Graham Lewis from the January 15, 2010 refusal to issue a license to Mr. Lewis to participate in paramutual harness racing. This refusal is based upon the finding at staff level that Mr. Lewis's experience, character, and general fitness are such that his participation in racing would be inconsistent with the public interest, convenience, or necessity, or with the best interests of racing generally. There is a hearing scheduled and held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. The hearing officer has submitted the report, which you have before you, together with the record. Mr. Parente recommends that the board deny the appeal and affirm the license refusal.
Okay. the actions taken by the former licensee in this case are troubling to say the least. I think the case speaks for itself. Questions or comments?
I'd kind of like to see us put a date certain, like 10 years before he can reapply.
Let me say the following with regard to that. The board certainly can do that. There is, in fact, an application that has been subsequently filed. As you know, we have date of birth licensing cycles, and as a result, the determination of this particular license application will not terminate or decide the pending application, which has not yet been acted on by the licensing department. I would suggest to the board that in view of the fact that that application has already been filed, that the board entertain any consideration of a specific period of ineligibility to apply until that matter, if it does come before the board, reaches the board.
Can we do that now?
Yeah, we can do it now, right?
We can do that as part of this adjudication?
No, you're saying we've got to wait for denial and give them a
shot at the apple? I'm not sure. In view of the fact that application has been filed and the board does not have a staff recommendation in relation to that at this point, I would suggest that the better course of action would be to await determination of that application.
Can we, what was the status of his charges in Schenectady County? Did he go to trial? I mean, this is 3 years ago. He still...
The matter in Schenectady County, which is part of the record, is that the charges were, I believe, eventually dismissed, and the orders of protection that were issued in favor of two of the employees expired. There was no unfavorable criminal disposition.
Did he pay restitution? I can't remember. It's so long ago.
There was some restitution that was ordered, and I believe it was paid.
All right. So then I guess my only concern about what you're saying is, well, because he's active A-list, he's not going to get a valid receipt then, right? He's not going to. I mean, he's right now?
No. So I believe staff... receipted that application as a non-valid application in light of the prior refusal and the fact that this appeal was pending.
And is he licensed anywhere else now? No, right?
I'm not sure that that is the case because in the course of the hearing, I believe that Mr. Lewis or Mr. Lewis's attorney presented copies, I think, of a license at Plain Ridge in Massachusetts. I believe it was...
He's from Bellingham.
He's from Massachusetts.
Sorry, bear with me a moment. On the 2009 license application, which is the one under review here, Mr. Lewis indicated that from December 08 to December 09, he held a Massachusetts trainer driver license, which would encompass the one that I'm looking for. So.
Other questions or comments? Our director of licenses, do we know if Mr. Lewis is licensed in any other jurisdiction and if they're aware of the situation here?
I'm not aware of this. I just have to do the RCISC.
Other questions or comments?
He won't come in person here on this new license application, will he? There won't be any reason for him to come back to the building, will there be?
No, he filed an application. He's given a non-valid, but he hasn't been back since. He mailed back to us.
How long ago was that?
I think it was about a month ago.
So basically, we got to wait. Well, how long do we have to wait to find out if he asks for a hearing?
Well, there's been no action at the staff level.
Oh, okay.
He was given a non-valid, and the decision's been made.
So, looking at it, and without prejudging the matter, but looking at it in anticipation that following the board's anticipated action to uphold this license refusal, that staff would then refuse to issue that license, the individual would have 10 days within which to request a hearing. So,
and we'll send that by certified mail? To him, what do we have to prove of service in the denial?
The denial?
Yeah.
If we did a denial, we would send a certified return receipt.
Yes. And then how do we advance the recommendation of Member Hogan?
Well, we can get a staff recommendation back on the second one, and then if he doesn't ask for a hearing, we can, based on
that.
Right?
Well, if the individual does not ask for a hearing, it's almost moot to bar further applications for a specific period of time. But if there was a hearing requested, there would be a hearing held and would ultimately come here for final action, at which time the board could consider that.
So we will now vote on the...
I'm confused without voting.
I'm a little confused too, but I think it's all
right. I think I understand it now.
To uphold recommendation of the hearing officer to deny the appeal and affirm the license refusal of Graham Lewis. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item 11 is a matter of the pre-race detention of horses trained by William Piontek.
Thank you. This is an appeal from the order of the presiding judge at Monticello Raceway. That order directed that horses trained by William Piontek be subject to 8 months of pre-race detention pursuant to Board Rule 4120.14B because the horses impacted were trained by Mr. Piontek on October 19, 2009 when he committed a second violation of Board Rule 4120.13, within a 12-month period. These all relate to multiple TCO2 excessive levels. There was a hearing scheduled and held before Mr. Clemente Parenti as the designated hearing officer. The hearing officer has submitted the attached report that you have before you with the record, in which he recommends that the board deny the appeal of the pre-race detention order and affirm the determination of the presiding judge in all respects consistent with the stipulation of the parties in Exhibit 4, which has to do with which horses are involved.
And there was an issue of tampering, but messing around with the seals on
the labeling.
There was an issue of the last digit of the serial number relating to the seal had been changed by the inspector who testified that it was in fact his handwriting. It amounted to an initial clerical error, as the record will bear out, which was corrected by the assigned inspector prior to the completion of that aspect of the collection in custody. In fact, it might have been corrected prior to the collection of the sample. I just don't recall.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, and we will now vote on the upholding the termination of the hearing officer on the appeal of William Piontek. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved.
We have five items for any information or discussion.
Hang on 1 second, Gail. One of them wanted to see a copy of after the fact. We don't have to discuss it now. I thought it was... I don't care. It's all right. the bell jar tickets I was going to ask about, but it's
thank you all for your participation.
Do you think it's a point to maybe...